Welcome in to the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler and Abe Gordon here with you on this Monday morning, Cinco de Mayo, 9.04 a.m. in Atlanta, Georgia. Abe, how are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Had an okay weekend. How was yours?
It was good. It was good. May is here. The weather was okay on Saturday. It was really nice yesterday. A bit cooler this morning, but
I had to break the coat back out. I was surprised.
I didn't go coat. I went vest, but the sun is out. There's not many clouds in the sky right now.
No, I meant when I was walking the dog this morning, I went light jacket.
So what did you do on Saturday? It was rainy.
I was at the Atlanta United match and taking care of business.
How were
there.
The crowds?
There was 40-something thousand people there. I like the...
Upper deck not open.
No. It was Nashville. Who cares?
Rivalry week, though. Atlanta United tie 1-1.
How many rivals is a team allowed to have?
I would say Orlando and Nashville. Or
Charlotte.
Probably, yeah, Charlotte as well.
So, like, three.
Okay. That's good with me.
You know, people want to argue, like, Red Bulls. And I don't know. Get one. Choose one.
Okay. How was the atmosphere?
It was good till Nashville started to take over.
Right.
Then not great. We got to stop doing the wave at games, man.
At soccer games? I thought the wave was like specifically for baseball games, not football games, not soccer matches.
The most frustrating part of the wave is like the 10 attempts it takes to get it started, where people are just screaming, 1, 2, 3, go, and it gets nowhere. 1, 2, 3, and it gets a little bit more than nowhere.
So where are you sitting Saturday
during the
match?
Press
That's
box.
What I figured.
I'm in the press box. I can't see the wave starting.
Open air press
hear
box
it.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium in that corner.
I can hear it, and I'm just like, what are y'all doing, man? And look, I was that kid. I understand. I used to start the wave, okay? Now, I was a kid. I am ashamed of it, but I used to start the wave.
Of course.
But I took it as a professional courtesy to do it right. And it takes work to properly start a wave in under 3 minutes, okay?
All right, so now as an attendee, if you're in
if you're going to do it right, that's all I'm
saying. Are you
taking
part in the wave if it comes around? Or are you boycotting it?
I won't take part in starting it. I won't get out of my chair for it.
That's fair.
But like if it comes, yeah, you throw an arm up. I may not even go two arms. One arm up. You kind of have to.
Par for the course.
I've never
for
been
Abe
good
Gordon.
To avoid peer pressure, Drew.
Par for the course for Abe Gordon. I'm assuming the atmosphere was a little bit different over at Truist Park over the weekend. Braves welcomed in the Los Angeles Dodgers. They lose 2 out of 3. They did win last night, but plagued by weather delays. I was up a little bit later on Saturday evening at about 12:45 a.m. They were still in the seventh inning.
You know, I think we have to give credit to the Braves organization, the grounds crew, and the people who monitor the weathers, the umpires, all that. I actually think they handled it just about perfectly.
They handled it the best way they could.
You knew you were Sunday night baseball, right? You take that into account. You're not turning it around for 10 a.m. batting practice and 11:15 infield drills. Your timeline's a little bit skewed there. You know when the storm is coming and around when it's going to be passed. And Brian Snicker was pretty open and said, hey, we can't go an inning or two innings and then lose a starter because there's a three-hour delay. I actually thought they handled the weather delay really well on Saturday, leading into
a late night.
Around a 10:15 start time. And then you actually played the whole game out. No delays from there.
What did you think of the ESPN broadcast last night? Obviously, Braves-Dodgers nationally televised over the weekend. Carl Ravitch and crew on the game.
Yeah.
Any thoughts there? Because I do have some thoughts.
I want to hear those. The only thing for me is that I'm so used to obviously watching the guys at FanDuel, and it's a moderately biased broadcast, as it should be.
Brandon
they're presenting
Gaudin,
to
CJ
our
Nikowski,
right. They're presenting
Wiley Ballard,
to the Braves audience. So sometimes I actually think it's refreshing to get a neutral both sides of the story thing. But yeah,
was it in the eighth inning last night, Bo, where the crazy play happened? It was off Freeman's glove.
Yeah,
and then
right.
They didn't even show the replay. They went straight to commercial. Braves fans are up booing. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm like, there's no way his foot was on the bag.
His foot was definitely
what
on the bag.
What the hell was that? That was like broadcasting 101. I'm sure the producer in the truck was like, what are we doing?
They're not going to show anything on ESPN that's going to negatively impact the Dodgers.
That's a really good point. I mean, it was egregious. And then they come back from break, still don't show the replay. They do show the replay. I'm like, his foot was not on the bag. And they just continue broadcasting.
Well, what are we talking about? His foot was definitely on the bag.
On the bag?
Yes.
For what, a half a millisecond?
How long does it have to be on the bag? Glove in, ball on the bag.
I was a little bit surprised the Braves also did not challenge that as well. But got a little dicey there late for the Braves. They were able to hold on last night. They beat the Dodgers 4-3. Big thanks to Raisel Iglesias with a huge, huge save. It is Cinco de Mayo. Any plans for Cinco de Mayo? You gonna go get Mexican food? You gonna have a margarita, a cerveza? What you gonna do?
I'm probably gonna go see Sinners, which is irrelevant to Cinco de Mayo.
You could bring in some Mexican food. They probably have nachos at the movie theater concession stand.
They do. They're probably week old chips and month old cheese, but that's all right.
Kind of depends on where you go see movies, though.
Yeah, that is true. A lot of these new, like, five-star dining experiences.
Cinebistro?
Yeah.
Bistro,
big time. Let me tell you where I'm not going. Any of those spots. I'm going to the theater I've been going to for 35 years.
They still have the guy who tears the tickets for you in front of you before you walk into the theater?
No, but nothing has changed since I've been there. They still have the tunnels.
AMC, Regal, what are we talking?
It's a Regal. It's in Perimeter Point.
Okay.
And they still have, like, the tunnels we used to sneak in through, like everything, nothing has changed.
How's the popcorn?
35 years old.
Do you get it when you go?
I'm doing keto right now, okay. So that's the toughest part, honestly. Today will be my third movie in 5 days.
So what do you walk in there with, just a big bag of beef jerky?
This
or something?
Jug of water.
Yeah.
This jug of water is all I bring in. No food.
No food.
No.
In ketosis.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it. Awesome.
Going to a movie theater with everyone else, like a lot of these movies, I'm the only one in. But I saw like Thunderbolts. There was like a couple people in there with me. And the guy right next to me had a big tub of popcorn. And it smelled so good. couldn't do it.
You still get free refills at Regal Perimeter Point?
If you get the large.
There you go. All right, let's hit a little 9 at 9. Yeah, we touched on it briefly. The Braves welcome in the Los Angeles Dodgers to Truist Park over the weekend. They lose 2 out of 3. They were able to win on Sunday Night Baseball. The Braves are back to 3 games below .500. Friday, they lost 2-1. Saturday, they lost 10-3. But last night, they win 4-3. Bryce Elder goes 5-plus with 2 runs around. Austin Riley, a 2-run homer. Raisel Iglesias with a huge save.
Yeah, big-time stuff last night from Iglesias, and you definitely wanted to get those 3 outs at the time you did because yeah. Shohei Ohtani,
was waiting
Mookie
in
Betts,
the wings.
Freddie Freeman, they're right there. And at that point, you're not worried about, all right, maybe we go to extras. You're worried about them taking a lead there in the ninth. A little bit concerned about Schwelly, another bump in terms of his starts, and we'll see. This was expected last year. It never happened. It's happening now. He's got to fight through it, get over it. He's still got great stuff, still very confident in him. Real bummer for Grant Holmes because he was outstanding on Friday
yes.
night. Unfortunately, so was Yamamoto. He's the Major League Baseball ERA leader, I believe, and the Braves just couldn't tally enough. You hold the Dodgers to 2 runs, and it was enough for them to hold up. That's a bummer.
Yeah, they were competitive. Again, Friday and Saturday both plagued by weather delays, but big for the Braves to save face last night. Get one. They continue their home stand as they welcome in the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Brady Singer versus AJ Smith-Shawver on the mound. Over the weekend, Atlanta United grabbed 1 point in a 1-1 draw against Nashville SC. Miguel Almiron scores for United in the 20th minute. However, Nashville battles back and they split to grab a point.
Played great for 20-30 minutes, fell apart after that.
The Kentucky Derby. Raced Saturday evening. Sovereignty was your winner. He was 7-1 before the race began. Man, that was a muddy, muddy track. The pre-race favorite, Journalism.
Yeah.
He was 3-1. He finished
Can
second.
I tell you, you and I probably have a lot of crossover on social media who would follow. A lot of Journalism finishes second tonight type of jokes going on. A lot of failed journalism jokes on Saturday evening.
We would be hitting a record for the amount of time said journalism.
Journalism.
Thank you, Abe, on the Steakhouse this Monday morning. The NBA playoffs continue. The Warriors beat the Rockets last night in Game 7. The Pacers beat the Cavs, a big game one upset in the Eastern Conference.
Buddy Hield finally shows up. It took him seven games, but 33 points, I think, last night. Big time from the three-point line. And similarly for the Pacers, they were knocking open threes down all night long. The Cavs need Darius Garland back, and they need to defend the perimeter.
You know I'm a big golfer, so I got to mention this. Scottie Scheffler, he won the CJ Cup Byron Nelson Classic in Dallas, which is his hometown, yesterday. He tied the PGA Tour scoring mark, shooting 31 under par over four rounds, Abe. He was 18 under through his first two rounds. Just silly, silly, silly. Big PGA Tour tournament this weekend in Philly, and then, of course, next week in Charlotte is the PGA Championship.
Yeah, he turned it on. There was no one was catching him. And it just goes back to when he's on, when he's at his best, he is the top golfer in the world.
Yeah, him and Rory are going to be fun to watch next week. Look, we touched on a lot in that opening segment. One thing we did not talk about were the Atlanta Falcons. And you made a comment on air Friday that got everybody spun up. What should we expect out of Michael Penix in 2025, I think everybody's thinking one way. You shouldn't be surprised. Abe Gordon thinking a different way. That's it right after the break. You're listening to the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. You are in the Steakhouse. Drew Butler alongside Abe Gordon on this beautiful Cinco de Mayo in Atlanta. Fun weekend. Relaxing weekend. Kentucky Derby, Braves Dodgers, Atlanta United played Nashville. You had the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Some boxing was on last night. And a new week begins. I just saw, and I was listening to some people discuss it earlier this morning. You know, the best part about the Derby, of course, the race is 2 minutes or less, is the five-hour show that goes around it. And I am a huge Mike Tirico fan. I think Tirico is one of the best. NFL, golf, all the big-time Olympic stuff.
So I like him a lot more doing what he does for the Derby or the Olympics than I do as an NFL guy.
Wow.
I'm not in love with Tirico, the play-by-play voice.
Really?
I love Tirico, the studio host.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
He was doing his studio host duties at Churchill Downs, and he gets pulled off the air. You're like, where'd he go? Ahmad Farid comes on, he says he's under the weather. Well, it comes out he was having a reaction to peanuts. He's got a nut allergy. And people were tweeting out that he didn't seem right. His voice seemed off.
Yeah.
He had to take himself off the broadcast. And I do not believe that he came back.
At one point they called it. They're like, and he's going to remain off the air.
Wow.
So hopefully everything's good. I didn't see any follow-ups, but
I know he was on a show on Golf Channel this morning. So I'm guessing that he's okay. And it was probably some preventative measures to get him off the broadcast. But if you know anything about allergies, those are nothing to mess around with, especially some of those peanut allergies. So I'm glad Mike Tirico's okay. That's my guy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want anything bad to happen to that guy.
No.
I love him. I think he's the best. I don't know, Bob Costas had a long run as well. But
yeah, a bunch of Syracuse guys. Sean McDonough's one of them as well. Dave Pasch.
Tirico at the booth for the Olympics.
I think is
like pristine.
Yeah.
Like that I think is some of the best studio hosting work possible. Because you're multiple sports, multiple athletes, multiple locations, and just air traffic controlling it the whole time. It's very strong.
There you go. Follow us on X at 92.9 The Game, at Drew Butler, at Abe Gordon. Also, download the Odyssey app. Listen to us anytime, anywhere. The Odyssey app, it is by far the best radio app in the biz right now, for sure. Thinking about things that are the best. Towards the end of last year's Falcon season, it was obviously clear that the transition at the quarterback position was well underway. I was highly critical of Terry Fontenot drafting Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. And what do you know? The way things seem to work out, it may go down as a stroke of genius for Terry Fontenot to have had Michael Penix Jr. on the roster after Kirk Cousins' injury and his declining play due to that injury, as Kirk Cousins has been very, very clear about. However, going through the offseason, and now as we're like 4 months away from the NFL returning, which is extremely exciting, everybody is pointing to the three games that Michael Penix Jr. started to finish the Falcons season a year ago. And it seems like to me, Abe, a lot of Falcons fans are very optimistic on the future of Michael Penix. It seems to me, Abe, that based on what he did in a huge Sunday Night Football game with a lot of playoff implications, Falcons fans feel like they have a young gunslinger who can get the football to their skill playmakers and have a legitimate shot of returning to the playoffs in 2025. I think that's a pretty fair assessment. However, you feel differently.
Well, not entirely, because to your point, I am optimistic. I think the Falcons have a guy that could be franchise quarterback moving forward for a decade, decade plus. Here's the thing. I also think there's a world in which they're wrong. Like I just don't understand the ability to say we've seen three games from him and now we're good. Like I just don't know if I buy that. Like, sample sizes in the NFL, and you could speak to this, are very weird. And for whatever number, for whatever reason, the number four when it comes to quarterbacks is the determining sample size. Once you get to games 5, 6, and 7, that's when the league has some scouting reports on you. That's when they've got a look on you, and that's when they make their adjustments to whatever that quarterback is doing. We're only in three games. By the way, the Falcons lost two of them, both in overtime.
Now, are you just basing your assessment on the win-loss record and the statistics?
No. I would say this for anyone. This is not a Michael Penix thing. I would say this for every quarterback. I'm not rallying around three games and saying it's a done deal. We've got our guy. I need to see more. I want to see more.
What's your hesitation on not being able to say Michael
that
Penix
it's been
Jr.
three
is
games.
Our guy? Now, when you watch the tape, the throws that he makes, his mannerisms in the pocket, his control of the offense pre-snap, getting guys into position, being able to execute the game plan. I mean, because when I watch the tape and I see them up in Arlington, Virginia, against the Commanders on Sunday Night Football with a lot of playoff implications on the line. Yep. Yes, he had the one bad interception.
Right.
The way for him to bounce back, deliver the football downfield accuracy, massive throws,
tight
move
windows,
the offense down, clutch third down conversions. To me, I say, wow, this kid's got it.
I don't disagree, but I also am not ignoring some of the questionable decisions that were made. He had three touchdowns
in
three
games.
He's a
rookie. It's his first ever action.
That's my point.
Okay.
He's played three games. I'm still viewing him essentially this season as a rookie. And there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be teachable and learning moments. He's not coming in as some polished quarterback.
Okay, so the Falcons would have made the playoffs and gotten into the playoffs in the wild card round, and that was his fourth game. And maybe he just does okay because historically rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, not the best outcomes. But you would have your four-game sample size.
But again,
Michael Penix Jr. would have technically taken the Falcons to the playoffs. Would your assessment be different today if that would have happened?
No.
But you just said,
because
you need four games.
Well, then there's the
you don't have four games.
But that's the second part. That's when teams adjust. And so now we'd be seeing how he adjusts back to them. The every career in most sport, it happens with pitchers, right? We're seeing Spencer Schwellenbach go through it now. The league has adjusted. Now he's got to adjust
back. In the
NFL,
it's called the sophomore slump, right?
The league adjusts. You adjust back, and the entire rest of your career is about small adjustments as the league makes their changes in how they defend you. I just, look, again, I want to be very clear here. I am very positive that Michael Penix can and is the franchise quarterback.
It doesn't sound like it.
But I'm also not pretending like he's not an X factor, that there's no world in which there are some issues there. After three games, he's Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden?
I mean, I don't think anybody's calling Michael Penix Jr. Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think you need that much out of Penix. I mentioned this, like, if Michael Penix is the 13th or 14th.
No, I think the Falcons are in a great position at
I agree.
Point. Yeah.
I agree. I don't think we need him to be one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. We need him to be higher than 18?
I would love for Falcons fans to chime in and let us know if you have the expectation that Michael Penix Jr. will be a top five quarterback in the NFL, because I don't think that's anybody's expectations. 404-726-0929. Please call in. Knock some sense into Abe Gordon. You're bringing up top five quarterback. You're bringing up Patrick Mahomes. Who's saying this?
You want me to show you my Twitter page? Here's the thing. Separate of Penix, what do you think an X factor is? Like, define X factor for
somebody who plays great in clutch moments. Somebody who you can count on to make a big play to potentially change the outcome of a game. In regards to an Atlanta Falcons quarterback, an X factor would simply be somebody who can execute the game plan, not turn the ball over, and hopefully get the ball to Drake London and Bijan Robinson.
I just have an issue that so many people are – and by the way, this is an opinion. Let me just say this first. This is my opinion. I'm not stating this as some fact that he's a huge question mark. It is my opinion that I have some concerns. So don't go on social media or hit us up and start name calling. It's my opinion.
No. You need to do that.
You absolutely
need to call in, name call, and get nasty.
It's
a Monday morning on the
stage. If you name call, you're getting dropped immediately. And you're lucky I don't have control of the dang button myself.
No, you do not.
But let me say this. Just because I am not treating him as an entirely known quantity doesn't mean I don't believe he can be that guy. I do. But I also still have a little bit of hesitancy, a little bit of nervousness after just three games. Cooper Rush went 4-1 when he had a chance to start.
Turn the tape on of Cooper Rush's first three games in the NFL, first four games. Put the same tape on of Michael Penix Jr. Don't look at the stats. Look at the wins or losses. Just watch them play the game. And you tell me who you think has more upside.
I think it's Michael Penix.
Thank you.
But I'm also sitting here and saying we've seen him for three games. Jacksonville's seen Trevor Lawrence for 50 games and they don't know what they have. We now all of a sudden know what we have after three games?
I mean, that is a fair point. I cannot wait to get the feedback of our listeners. I see the phone lines are already starting to light up. We're going to continue talking about this topic. Please chime in, 404-726-0929. This hour of the Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. We are going to continue talking about Michael Penix Jr. and what to expect of him next season after the break. Also, we got a tailgate coming up. A big time decision for a five-star prospect is happening later today. And I just saw there is a new number one ranked team in the country in a big time sport. And it's not too far from where we stand right here in Midtown Atlanta. Having a lot of fun on this Cinco de Mayo. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .940 Drew Butler, Abe Gordon. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour of the Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guy Pros Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Spirited conversation on the expectations for Michael Penix Jr. from the Falcons fan base. That's who we want to hear from. What are your expectations for Michael Penix Jr. as the Falcons starting quarterback in the 2025 season? Is it a top five quarterback? Is it Patrick Mahomes adjacent, as Abe Gordon to my left here is talking about? Or are you just saying, hey man, take care of the football, execute the game plan, get it into Bijan's and Drake's hands, and let's see what we can do. 404-726-0929. We're going to head to the phone lines. We got some great Falcons fans and 92.9 The Game listeners who want to chime in, and then we got a great tailgate for you coming up in just a few minutes. So let's start off with Tim in Alpharetta. Tim, you're on the Steakhouse. Good Monday morning, my friend.
Hello?
Hey, Tim, you there, brother? What are you thinking? What's your expectations for Michael Penix Jr. in the 2025 season?
Yeah, so I'm with you guys. I was definitely encouraged by what I saw. Michael Penix has the ability to read an NFL defense. He can go through the progressions. which is encouraging. And however, I feel good about him, but I'm not ready to anoint him as the franchise quarterback after three games. I agree with Abe on that point. But there definitely is a lot of encouraging things that I saw. But again, it's only been three games, so I feel like we need a bigger sample size. But the signs are encouraging.
Thanks so much, Tim. It sounds like Abe, he's kind of toeing the line there, agreeing with both of us. But you wanted to make sure that everybody knew exactly where you stood as far as what you're questioning and what you believe.
Yeah, because I'm encouraged as well. I do believe he can be the franchise quarterback. I don't want to misconstrue the questions I have for Michael Penix. But I just feel so many Falcons fans I've talked to, it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
That after three games, he's the guy. I think he's going to be the guy. I feel pretty good about it. But, man, I can't just come in to the season and say I have zero concerns about quarterback after three games. A guy that, again, yes, essentially is a rookie. I think the fact that he's going to be QB1 for the offseason is huge.
Yeah, big time.
I think it is massive.
I totally agree with that.
There are so many positive things here. I don't want to be kind of misquoted as this being a negative or me trashing Penix.
That's fair.
And that's not the thing. But to say, like, we have a top 10 running back, check. We have a top 10 receiver, check. We have a top 15 quarterback. I'm just not 1,000% okay checking that box yet. I think he is. I think he can be. But, man, three games in, it's not an afterthought.
Let's see what James in Stone Mountain thinks. James, good morning, my man. Do you think Michael Penix Jr. will be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL in 2025?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to get on this show for a long time.
We love it, man. Welcome.
Well, I just want to say, when we first drafted him, I ain't going to lie, I went too hot. But there's three things I seen. I go to all the games, all the tailgates. There's three things I saw in those three games. The first one is when he ran for the touchdown. The second one is when he threw that ball to Kyle Pitts to tie the game up against Washington. Those two things right there showed me he can be a top 10 quarterback. And no pressure. There was no pressure on him.
I totally agree, James. Thanks for the call. I mean, those plays that James just mentioned are the ones that jump off the screen at you. You're like, wow, this rookie in his first or second ever start is doing that in a high-profile moment on national primetime television. Like, that is when you elevate your game. And going back to your X-Factor question, those are the plays that you make that say, this dude is an X-Factor.
The pitch throw is the one that stands
out. It's more impressive. What's more impressive, the throw or the catch that Kyle Pitts actually made?
All right.
I'm just saying.
No.
I jumped off my couch when that happened.
The throw
I could not believe it.
Because of the moment, and then even, by the way, take the moment away. The window itself, the physical window where he needs to fit that ball into, there is almost no room for error.
Yes.
In that moment, with that window, that is the highlight of the season. And then, obviously, the next week he does have the rushing touchdown. What you see in that throw is the reason we're all like, hey, this is the guy who was built for the moment.
That is 100% correct.
You lost the game, yes. I get that. This is the guy that's built for the moments. I'm fully on board with that. But I also need a bigger sample size. That's my only concern.
Larry, in the truck. Larry, do you need a bigger sample size, or are you all in on Michael Penix in the 2025 season?
I definitely need a bigger sample. And not only am I going to go past four games or five games, I'm looking at the whole season, you know, so before I even think that he can be the regular quarterback all the way through with no questions asked.
So you need, need 17
and
more games.
And the reason
games.
Is because he's got physical things he's got to let help me understand that he can stand up to the physicality of the, you know, NFL, because that wasn't all that apparent in college. He had some issues physically.
He definitely
did. I'm worried about that too.
All right, Larry, thanks so much. I mean, Larry's bringing up a lot there, saying he needs an entire season of a sample size in order to decide what he thinks Michael Penix Jr. is going to be. And then he brings up also the physicality nature of a long NFL season. This is a guy who was injured many, many times throughout his college career, Abe.
Yeah, some of those are freak things. I mean, at Washington, he was fine. And I think he got hurt in Washington's run to the playoffs and still played and played relatively well. Probably a rib injury or something in the core that was bothering him, and he still played through it and played well. I also just don't think we've seen the upper limits of him athletically. I think there's more he can show as he gets more comfortable in the offense, too. And so we talked about the rushing touchdown. I think there's more of that coming as well.
Okay, can I ask a stupid question before we jump to
the tailgate? No questions are stupid.
Now, I understand the Kirk Cousins move did not happen during draft weekend, and obviously there were some rumors out there that he could have been packaged up or there could have been a deal made, first, second, third, fourth round, whatever it may have been. They could have gotten Kirk Cousins off the books. That didn't happen. But as the Shedeur Sanders slide was happening and the Falcons had great draft picks thus far, was there any point in your mind where you're like, man, the Falcons could snag Shedeur in the fifth round or whatever round it was?
No, there
to
wasn't.
To put him behind Penix, you got your two quarterbacks, move on from Kirk, see what happens.
No, again, because you only make that play if you question what you have in the room. I don't really question what we have in the room. Okay. It's just, again, not an afterthought.
Never even crossed your mind?
No, not once. Not once.
Would it have crossed your mind if maybe Kirk had been moved and the Falcons were sitting there with Michael Penix Jr. and then an unknown commodity at backup?
No, it wouldn't have. I just don't think this team was in play for that.
I don't either, but you can never rule out anything like that when it comes to a Falcons draft.
I get it. And for some point, and potentially for Cleveland, at some point, the value, because by the way, we can talk about Shedeur slide at some point. I think that's incredible value for him.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
I understand why teams pass on him in the middle rounds and the discussions.
But why I'm bringing it up, to get the value of him in the fifth round.
It's still value if you're a quarterback needy team. Okay.
What if the Falcons would have selected him and then all of the news about the prank call comes out afterwards and he ends up going to the team who was adjacently responsible for the viral prank call? That would have been quite the storyline. Speaking about quarterbacks and potential landing spots, let's hit the tailgate. All right, tonight, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the top 2026 quarterback recruit, five-star Jared Curtis, is set to make his decision. It is expected to be between Georgia and Oregon. Abe, this is a big one. A lot of fans very much in tune with where Jared Curtis is going to go. He's from Nashville Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. And my sources say that this is a professional decision being made. My sources say agents are involved. Marketing companies are involved, coaches on all sides, the family, of course. And I don't believe Georgia or Oregon know at this moment. I'm not even quite sure if they will be told prior to Jared Curtis making his decision, but that's coming down the line tonight, 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
Well, look, this is your prototypical quarterback, 6'4", Gatorade Player of the Year in Tennessee. He previously had committed to Georgia like a year ago.
Georgia's been on him for a long time.
Previously committed, then decommitted in the same year, and now it's down to them and the Ducks. It's a fascinating discussion for me because if I'm a top quarterback, do you question what Georgia's put into the NFL?
Dude, have you ever been to Oregon?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten out there? You're in no man's land.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get there.
Well, you mentioned a professional decision, and I'm thinking a pro decision.
Yes, thank you.
You tell me what Georgia's put in.
I mean, I'm sure Oregon's nice in July for 2 weeks.
Oregon's nice.
I mean, give me a break. If you're making that decision, and of course my bias is coming out a little bit.
Yeah,
could you ever choose? How could you ever choose Oregon over Athens, Georgia?
Because
on every level. You want more Nike swag?
No. I think these decisions come down to more than a 3-year decision. I think that's the point. You want to talk about, do we want to compare the quarterbacks Georgia has put into the NFL since Stafford and the quarterbacks that Oregon has? I mean, you tell me. Is Ryan Day putting more quarterbacks into the top round of the NFL draft than Kirby Smart? Not Ryan Day, sorry, Dan Lanning. Ryan Day definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix obviously helped out pretty good. But
yeah, and Dylan Gabriel goes decently early.
That's a head-scratcher, but
I agree.
I think Jared Curtis will probably make the best decision for himself, and I would assume being from Nashville, Tennessee.
I think he's going to Georgia.
I think he's going to Georgia as well.
Then the question is, who does he bring, right? That's always my favorite part.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, all right, now you're with us. Start hitting the trail for us.
No question about it.
Who you want to throw to? Get him over here.
ESPN currently breaking some big news. Sherrone Moore, head football coach at the University of Michigan, is expected to be suspended 2 games during the 2025 season. It looks like,
all right,
Abe,
weeks 1 and 2, that makes sense.
He's suspending himself weeks 3 and 4. These are self-imposed sanctions dating back to the Connor Stallions scandal. Sherrone Moore allegedly deleted 52 text messages with Connor Stallions when the story broke in October of 2023.
So what I'm reading, and Sherrone Moore obviously has a history at Oklahoma, played for them, lineman, all that stuff, and that's their week two matchup. And maybe there's a little bit of, I get to kind of choose, and I want to go against my alum situation. Like, what are we doing with week 3 and 4? If you're going to pick and choose, just go ahead with week 1 and week 3, the two bums on your schedule.
Get it out of the way.
Because if they lose...
Self-imposed sanctions.
Week 4 is at Nebraska. Week 4 is at Nebraska. That's not a gimme. It's not a gimme win.
You're right. Sherrone Moore, suspended. Self-imposed sanctions. 2 games, weeks 3 and 4 of the 2025 season. I'm also seeing some news out of Washington, D.C. Looks like President Trump is supposed to make a quote-unquote sports announcement at 11 a.m. right when we go off the air, and then it's followed by the signing of some executive orders. He has put himself into the NIL conversation.
Yeah.
Will he prevent or provide an executive order to help college sports get out of its current tailspin? I have no idea. We'll wait and see. However, the biggest news of the tailgate so far, there is a new number one team in college baseball. Baseball America just released their new college top 25, and the number one team, Abe Gordon, is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, look, they were flirting with it a couple of weeks ago, and then they had a couple downturns where they got swept and had some issues and kind of went away from the top two, top three, and now they're back. They've been hot this season. They're a good team, and a lot of people, you kind of wondered, hey, after Condon, what is this team going to be?
That's right.
One of the title favorites.
Well,
that's
baseball schedule is so long. I mean, expect ebbs and flows, and you just hope that you really start to catch your stride as the season's winding down. You want to be in Omaha in late June.
And I know we talked about the SEC in basketball, and we've talked about the SEC in football. The SEC, in terms of baseball, is elite as well. So there's no free weekends, as you want to call it.
No free weekends at all. That is your tailgate. You having fun?
I am having fun.
Are people chirping at you on Twitter? I hope they are.
Yeah, probably.
I'm trying to sick them on Abe Gordon.
I know. Do you see the difference, though, when people call and actually have to speak to me? They're like, well, got your back, Abe. On Twitter, just name calling. Hey, real quick, Steakhouse, hour number one, brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
After the break, in the 10 o'clock hour, we're talking more Falcons. We're talking more Braves. You got the NBA and NHL playoffs going on. Yes, we will do things I learn. Yes, I will provide that for you in the absence of Steak Shapiro. We're going to keep having fun. Hope your Cinco de Mayo is off to a great start. Appreciate you listening. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.